Hi, and welcome to another episode of Digitally Diverse, where we take a deep dive into the careers and journeys of some of our leaders in the design and tech industry. Today, we are joined by Matt Garden, the founder of Digital Native. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt.
Pleasure. It's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, I guess to start off, Matt, would you give us a bit of an overview of where you've come from and your career to date?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, Ellen, I have a quite unique background in the sense that I'm what's called a third culture kid. So I was born overseas and spent a lot of my time overseas and travel a lot. And my career has kind of reflected that. Finished uni in New South Wales, stumbled into a job in an ad agency, ended up in Europe just after the turn of the century, and worked for a fantastic brand over there called Innocent Smoothies, a very well-known European brand. They're a bit like Nudie Smoothies over here. Then came back here and was the digital brand director for Westpac for a couple of years, went from like crazy innovative startup to very traditional corporate role, kind of wanted to experience both ends of the spectrum, and then started my own business about 10 years ago and was kind of doing half consulting, half just side hustle gigs around content creation and copywriter by trade, and then started Digital Native off the back of that, and it's kind of grown from strength to strength as it's kind of evolved. There are seven of us now, and we're on track to kind of double this year, which is good. Lots of stuff in the pipeline, and basically the business is very mission focused. We're very mission driven, so our objective is positive pixels, and basically that means, look, there's an can I swear on here?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no. I check. Some people are a bit like, ooh. Yeah, I mean, it's not a very big swear word, but you know, there's enough shit online, and we want to make the web a better place, one side at a time. So that's kind of our mission, and positive pixels really helps us make it very easy for people to work with us, and also make it very easy for us to decide that we're not a right fit. And just keeps us being passionate and motivated about the work we do.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact that you're selective with who you work for. I think that just shows the values that you guys adhere to, and the people that you do work with, you obviously really mesh quite well together. So yeah, I mean, I'd be curious to hear, like, what are the problems that you're solving? Like, who are you working with?
Yeah, so we work in kind of three key areas. One is kind of renewable tech. So we work with a couple of great companies in solar and battery energy storage. So helping them get their messaging out, have websites that are engaging and compliant. One of the companies is listed on the stock exchange. So we have to make sure that all the investor data is up to date. Then pitch decks, brand announcements, branding, logos, all the kind of visual stuff that you associate with a successful company. Mm-hmm. And then, so that's one sector, is kind of renewable technology. We do a bit of work in blockchain and cryptocurrency. I've been deep into that space for about 6 years now. So we help some clients in that space. And usually it tends to be using blockchain for good. So one of our favorite projects was a project called the Emin Project. And that was helping migrant laborers in Thailand not get ripped off when they signed contracts to go and work in factories. So it's really lovely. One of the things about the blockchain is once you put something on there, you can't change it. And so what was happening was recruiters would be going out into the fields and getting these people from the country and bringing them back to work in the factory. And by the time they got to the factory, you know, miraculously, their contract had changed and their conditions had changed, and what they'd signed up for in the field wasn't what they ended up doing. And so this application just helped them lock in the terms and conditions at the field, as opposed to allowing them to change in the factory. And then the third is the kind of charity space. We do a lot of work with charities in New South Wales, just helping them have great digital presence, better donation funnels, better marketing materials, better branded material.
Love that. Yeah, I think that's something super important that I never really realized before is that charities actually applying for funding, and that is a whole massive, massive process that they just don't have the bandwidth usually to dedicate someone to do. So if like someone can come in and like really make that efficient and do that for such a like well-deserving sector, that's fantastic. Love that. Okay, cool.
And look, you know, I mean, not to blow our own trumpet, but we're pretty good at what we do, and we want to use those skills to help people as opposed to just work for, you know, large multinationals that could get anyone to do their work. So we kind of want to try and, in our own small way, level the playing field and give the sort of quality of work that usually is only accessible to large multinationals to smaller players and to people who are trying to make positive pixels.
Mm-hmm. Love that. In regards to like how you got started in tech and design, did you forego into regular tertiary education, or how did you get started with everything?
Yeah, look, to be honest, totally randomly. And that's one of the messages that I want to kind of leave listeners with today is just trust this excellent adventure that you're on. And say yes to those crazy opportunities, because invariably they're the ones that lead you in a totally different direction that you never would have ended up if you did what was expected or what people thought was the safe thing. You know, take those risks, especially when you're young. You're not going to stuff it up. The worst thing that's going to happen is you die, and you're going to die anyway. So, you know, there's really no risk, especially when you're young, in taking the kind of the crazy gig or the job that really excites you or the thing that could work out or not work out at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously don't jump out of a plane without a parachute, but you know what I mean.
Yes, it's good to take those risks early on. So it was the first job that you got in an agency. Was that like a really like risky move for you at the time? Like what was your thought process?
Yeah. So I started, I did an arts degree at UNSW. So I did history and philosophy, you know, nothing to do with anything that I ended up where I ended up now. And to be honest, my job wouldn't exist without, you know, without the iPhone, because that kind of completely transformed the internet for us and completely changed what we were doing. So started history and philosophy, was the editor of one of the student papers, and they sent me on a graphic design course. And it was like, ooh, I can draw now. And then out of that, finished uni and ended up at the Darling Harbour Association Society in their graphic department, doing posters and ads in newspapers and stuff. And then from there went and started, the first time, started my own little advertising agency. There were three of us then. That was a little bit hectic and crazy, but great fun. And then ended up at TBWA, that was like a really big international agency. The biggest risk I took earlier in my career was going to Europe and just seeing how that would go, and you know, saving up enough pocket money for a year, packing up my bags with the woman who would eventually become my wife, and we went over and you know, we're supposed to stay for a year and we stayed for 10. So that kind of, you know, adventure and being able to do that really changed the trajectory of my life considerably.
Love that. And I think it's something so important that I hear all the time with not only you, but myself as well. You plan on going for 1 year and then you end up being there for, in your case, 10, my case, 7. Like, it's just, you don't know where those decisions are going to take you. So yeah, sometimes you just have to really lean into it. And yeah, I think what was the biggest thing that you kind of learned about your craft while you were in Europe?
I think, I mean, and even the way I ended up working for Innocent, you know, I'd gotten a job. We turned up there without any work, and I was just kind of meeting people for coffee. And every time I met someone for coffee, I'd ask them for one other name, you know, and it was like, do you have any work for me? No. Okay. Do you know anyone else I can talk to? And it just kind of little by little just kind of edged it out that way. But then this crazy car drove past on the street that had like synthetic grass all over it. And that's how Innocent used to have their delivery vans. They were like covered in synthetic grass. And I was like, that looks like a lot of fun. And so just went up to the person delivering the things and started talking to them, got a name, ended up getting a meeting with the guys back at head office in the UK, worked throughout the night to put this crazy pitch deck together, went in and pitched the idea and they loved it. And then I helped them set up the company in France. And so, you know, if I just kind of seen that truck go past and laugh at it, it would have been a very different life for me, you know, but taking that risk and going up and saying hello, or, you know, clicking on that link or applying for that job or going for that coffee, like, to go that extra step. And you'd know this, Ellen, how many times have you like not wanted to go out or not wanted to go to a thing or been about to cancel, and in the end you go and it's just an experience that completely transforms your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the worst that can happen, I think, is something that kind of goes through my head now as I'm a little bit older, especially, that it's when you just get out of uni, it's like, oh, you know, I've got this piece of paper now that says that I'm qualified. And then the fear of rejection and the fear of like someone being like, no, is massive. Yeah. And really, if that's the worst that can happen, is someone saying, no, then you move on and you just try and try again. And as you said, you just got to take those opportunities as they come up. Look out for the grass-covered car.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And, you know, you are going to have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince.
100%. And that just goes for, like, not only anything in your career, but just, like, in life in general. Like, you just have to try stuff out. Yeah, and practice makes perfect. It's like a muscle that you need to flex.
Exactly.
Along with that, do you have any other advice for people just starting out?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, take the risk. Take the risk is the first thing. Try and I wish we were more mission focused a lot sooner. Like at work, having this banner of positive pixels that we stand under just makes us much more efficient in the type of work we do with the type of people we work with, and we just waste a lot less time. You know, everyone starts out going, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. Try and specialize in an area that you're passionate about. And if you can, try and add some value or some meaning to yourself, to what you do. So I'm really interested in accounting and horses, okay? Try and find something that marries those two things together. Or I'm really interested in the environment and painting, okay? Try and find a solution that marries those two things together. Mm-hmm. And being clear about what your values are and what you're prepared to do just makes it much more efficient in finding the people you can line up with. Your tribe is out there, okay? Mm-hmm. Your tribe is out there. You now have some skills. Your job is to find your tribe.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's something a lot of people, you know, when you find your crew, right? Like something just clicks. Like, okay, yeah, this is very meant to be right now. Did you have perhaps some opposite times in your career where you were like, oh no, I don't line up with this. This feels icky. Like how do you go about being faced with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a gut feeling, right? Like, you know, when you're turning up at work and it's not working and you don't like it and you're just there because you need to pay the rent, it's awful. It's awful. Yeah. And it was much, much more common 20 years ago, let me tell you. Like, I don't think people realize the just revolution that the internet has brought to us. You now can reach almost anyone in the world, right? And so if you like actually accounting for horses while wearing green socks, you can put that out there and you will find, you know, it's pure math. There's 8 billion of us on this planet. You will definitely find at least another 1,000 people who like horses, accounting, and green socks. It's maths. What we didn't have before was that technology to easily connect everyone. Now we've got that technology and that communication. Even 10 years ago, Ellen, you and I couldn't do this cast together because the bandwidth wasn't there, the platform didn't exist. You know, this ability to create content and be true to who you are, it has just become so much easier and so much more efficient.
Yeah, I know.
Try and live within your means as much as you can. So if you can stay at home as long as you can, and just build a little bit of a nest egg to give you that freedom to go and try stuff. Because there's nothing better than being like, this job isn't working and I don't have to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that must be so empowering to be in that position.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, there's been lots of times in my career where I wasn't in that position and it's awful and you just kind of have to muddle through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that hard to get into that position. You know?
Yeah.
You don't need a new car every 3 years. In fact, You don't need a car at all at the beginning. Just get a bike or use public transport. You'll be amazed at the amount of, you know, money you save. And while you're on the bus or train, if you don't get seasick, you can work or read and or listen to fantastic podcasts like this one.
Yeah, there's so many different ways that we can like absorb content now, and anyone and everyone obviously can make a podcast and put content out there. So it's a whole new world, especially over the last few years when the bandwidth to create and connect online and work remotely as well. So what kind of speed bumps have you faced so far in your career, and how has that been shaped by them?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think one of the biggest speed bumps was sadly, first wife and I got divorced, and then we had to come back to Australia. We started a family in France. I really wanted to stay, but I kind of wanted to see my kids. And so we came back to Australia, ended up in a job I really didn't like, felt like I was kind of stuck, you know, needing the money to support this family, ended up moving out, living in a tiny apartment. It was kind of a hard couple of years, but I know it was important because I was being true to what really mattered to me. And this is the thing about adversity or about setbacks is you will always get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter how bad it seems, you will get through it. And so having that kind of trust that you will work it out makes those moments more bearable. And if you look at every kind of great invention or every kind of great leap forward or even every great shift in your own personal life, typically, they start with, there's a problem that I need to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now when life is so comfortable, we try and avoid all the problems. But actually, dealing with the problems and facing the problems leads to new thought, leads to creativity, leads to better outcomes. You know, and we see this in life all the time. You look at like huge storms come through and blow out, clear out all the dead wood, clear everything away. It's massively dramatic and traumatic while it's happening, and it is a tough experience. But after that, you come back stronger, you build back clearer, the old stuff's gone, and there's this kind of regeneration that happens. And that's a very natural process on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I think my granny has a saying where it's like a muscle, right? You have to stretch yourself, and you need to, you know, stretch the confines of your comfort zone, because the more that you do that, the more things that you will eventually be comfortable with and can take in your stride. So yeah, there's no long term, there's not much point in trying to stay huddled up and be a little hermit crab. You've got to get out there.
Yeah. And I think, and you know, we all know people who play it really safe, and you kind of know they're really not happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's almost like restricting in a way.
It is. Or they've done the safe thing, or what everyone thought they should do all the time, and, you know, end up with a nice little house and a white picket fence and coming home and watching TV every night, and that might be fine for them. But I think for us creative people, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're in tech, you're there because of the excitement of being in one of the most cutting edge industries, you know, on the planet, and you want to create new stuff and you want this excitement of the new, and your soul craves that too, you know.
And I think as well, like with this community, people taking risks and celebrate the failures just as much as the successes, because if you fail, it means that you've tried something new and you've learned something from it, where perhaps in some more traditional industries that is not as looked upon so favorably. So I think, yeah, we're really lucky that we've got such a supportive community where everyone's like cheering each other on to do cool shit. Yeah, I love that. Is there, you know, kind of like on that same vein, is there anything that that you do yourself to like keep that motivation and productivity going, or things that you do for your team?
Two questions there. I'll start with the team because it's kind of easier. We're very focused on being a high performance team. So we talk a lot about what that means, you know, what we did well. You can only really do this. There's three key factors for a high performance team. One is trust. You have to trust the people you're working with. And part of that is, I trust you're going to do your job well, and I trust you're going to support me when I stuff up.
Yeah.
So we're very big on like, I haven't done that yet. I need help with this. This isn't working. Does anyone know how that works? I'm still figuring this out. having a culture where you can say you don't know everything, especially the team's quite young, really helps people grow and be invested in the work they do. Communication, super important. Again, it's going well, it's not going well, it's on track, it's not on track, this is what I need, this is what I've done. And then just holding yourself to a standard of excellence. So is this the level that you're proud of, and is it the work that you want to be known for, and is it the work of a high-performing team? Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes there are constraints to that. Look, it's a one-page flyer. We're not going to spend 6 months on it, but we're going to make sure that it's a really well-done one-page flyer and that we got it done efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And then personally, I'm really big on meditating, so I meditate every day, lots of mindfulness, and that really helps me just kind of manage the stress and chaos of the day. And then exercise is so important, you know, even if it's just getting out and walking around the block. I've gotten back into swimming recently, which I really love. So I'll swim 4 or 5 kilometers a week and just kind of get that out. And I find also that's a really nice meditation to just kind of be doing laps and thinking about nothing and having stuff come through and having ideas come to you then. So mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend, you know, some form of meditation. It doesn't need to be sitting and closing your eyes. It can be raking or some sort of, you know, or ironing or, you know, swimming or running. Just some sort of activity that's kind of low-level brainwave stuff is so helpful for everyone. So find what you love that kind of distracts you and make sure you do that every day.
I really do agree with the fact that, yeah, sometimes we do need to just lower the brainwaves a little bit. We work in such a high pressure and high noise industry where there's, you know, lots of things bombarding us all the time. And yeah, the opportunity to switch off for a minute, even if it is like gardening or I love sewing or just like something to take your mind off things is so, so important. And you do feel really refreshed afterwards. Like it's like taking a nap. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Another hack I got recently, which is really good, is I don't sleep with my phone in my room anymore.
Yeah, I need to do that.
That's a game changer. And basically what you do is you put the phone outside of the room. Then when the alarm goes off, it forces you to get out of bed. Then I turn the phone off and I don't touch it for 15 minutes. And you just have that space to be like, what am I going to do with the day? What's the intention I'm setting for the day? What are the things that are important to me? And just mm-hmm. that little bit of intention and setting, this is the key thing I need to get done for the day, will transform your day.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you wake up and the first thing you're stimulating yourself with is either chaos or doom scrolling.
Yeah. Guilty.
Yeah, same. We've all been there, you know. And I see my kids do it too, and it's just like, come on, like, just don't use that. If you even just start with 5 minutes, you'll be surprised how much better you feel. And little by little, work up to 15 minutes, half an hour. If you can afford to not touch your phone for the first half an hour before you get up, you will be smashing all your goals in the next 6 months.
There you go, folks. Matt Garden's rule to life and smashing all your goals is don't touch your phone in the morning.
Yeah. Check back in with your cons and let me know how you're going.
Yes. Oh, cool. Well, kind of like along that vein, is there any media that you do consume, like, for example, podcasts or, like, you know, thought leaders or business leaders that you follow that you find motivation and, like, inspiration from?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time on Medium and I follow, there's a couple of business platforms on Medium that do good stuff and they send me that daily email update. And so I just check and see, you know, what the stories are from there. There's a guy recently I just started following, does an email call. Let me just find it for you here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ben Mear, there it is. And he's actually, what I really like about him is he sends one email a week and it's one system hack that you can use. And his hack about having your phone outside was one I've employed, and it works really well.
Okay, cool.
So they're good. I'm a huge football fan, and so obviously I have a football team in the UK that I follow, so I consume a lot of their content and podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, meditation and spirituality, there's a couple of podcasts there that I listen to on that front.
Fantastic. No, that's great. And it's great that you've got like a good blend as well, because there's some people that definitely think just consume media that's just related to their job. And it's good to keep a mix, right? Like sports. And I listen to like a lot of comedians' podcasts and like just lighthearted stuff to take some of that heavy weight away from the day is really great to get into as well.
Exactly. And that's where inspiration comes from, right? It's not if you're too deep into your niche, you just end up doing what everyone else in that niche does. Like the big inspiration comes from, ooh, what if we put this and brought it over here? Or what if we did, look at what they're doing over there. What if we applied that to here? Mm-hmm. You know, there's that famous Ford quote where he says, if I'd asked people what they wanted, they would have just said a faster horse, you know, and if all you did was focus on horses, you would have missed this whole thing of machine transportation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard that before, and it's spot on, isn't it? Because people, like users, just know what they know. They don't know what is possible. So, yeah that's really great. Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that's kind of all of the like major things answered. Is there anything else in particular that you want to chat about?
No, look, I mean, it was great talking with you, Ellen. Thank you. I hope, you know, I hope the guys listening have found it useful. I would just end on kind of three things, like find what you love, find your mission. Definitely travel as soon as you can. Like that will completely open up your world. Try and do a little bit of meditation every day, whatever meditation means for you. And then please, please, please take it from an old crusty bugger like me. It will work out. It will all work out. Definitely not the way you planned. Definitely better than you planned. But it will all work out.
I love that. Thank you so much, Matt. You're awesome.
Pleasure.
So, Matt, you've obviously worked in quite a few realms of design and tech, like being in big agency land, then going into banking, then consulting, and now owning your own smaller consultancy. So what was it like to jump between those four very different worlds?
In retrospect, it was great and it was super interesting. At the time, it was scary, you know, going from somewhere where you hadn't been and kind of arriving and not doing things the same way everyone else did. So that can be a little bit lonely sometimes too when you're going from somewhere. I think especially, you know, I'm grateful for the time I had at Westpac, but it really wasn't right for me, and they kind of were very patient with me, you know, while I was there. Just really trying to realize that it wasn't the right thing for me. But learned a whole heap of stuff and got a couple of great projects out the door. What I found was I really like working in, you know, faster paced, quicker organizations where you're delivering stuff and you're getting stuff done, and there's kind of, you know, projects are shorter and sharper.
Mm-hmm.
But that sometimes those transitions were forced. You know, we had to come back from Europe and there were reasons beyond work that kind of forced me to do stuff. And when you're young, you kind of don't think that life is ever going to get in the way, but as you get older, life kind of crowds in to the sort of things you want to do. You know, you might have a relationship breakup that means you need to move somewhere, as was my case. You might have a health issue that kind of transforms how your life is dramatically, or you might have to move somewhere where, you know, there's different environmental concerns. Maybe the pollution of a city is getting too much for you. Maybe you're allergic to, you know, the pollen in the air. I don't know.
Life happens.
Happens. It does. It does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, that's part of the thing of just trust that it will work out. And sometimes when things don't go to plan, that's kind of the best blessing you could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
And even recently, a couple of years ago, COVID, everyone was like, oh, my God, what's happened? And you know, COVID was an awful thing, and lots of people suffered deeply because of it. But out of the back of that, we now have a much stronger acceptance of working remotely that we didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
And we now have a much stronger understanding that you can do things online, and everyone knows what a QR code is, and everyone knows how to use, you know, how to use these types of platforms. And so even out of something that's kind of quite awful, there are benefits that have come from it.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, you're right. Like when life happens to you, it changes your priorities and in ways that you can't predict. So you just kind of got to roll with it. And you're right, things don't go to plan, but a lot of the time they don't go to plan, but they end up better than what you thought they would. So yeah,
no, exactly. That's great. And that's why, having a kind of a North Star that's important to you, or some sort of mission or values that are important to you, they're really crucial in those times when life's not going to plan. Because then it's like, okay, what's important to me? What are my options, or what aren't my options?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really value freedom. So actually it's not an option for me to go back to a 9-to-5 job, right? That's just never going to be an option. So my solutions are always going to be outside of the box, and that's just what works for me. And if they can include travel, then great. And that's the kind of focus I put my attention on when there's a problem that needs solving.
Yeah, having that North Star and having that mission and focus, I feel like as many storms come through, if you're tethered to that, then yes, you're going to get knocked around a bit, but you're not going to go flying off into the wind. Like, you're going to still feel secure, and you just kind of weather it and keep on trucking. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And look, over time, life is long, that North Star can shift a little bit, but typically, yes. And play around with it. Okay. Yeah, I'm passionate about human rights. Okay, great. And actually, at the beginning, that might be wanting to smash the corporations and all of that. But after a while, it might be actually just making it easier for people to get employment, because you understand that for certain people, having a little bit of money is better than having no money at all. And actually having a little bit of money from a corporation is better than having no money at all. And so you kind of start to get a bit more nuanced in, your beliefs about what the solution could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. And actually kind of reminds me of one of our first episodes with Leonora Horn. She came in and she works with Bradken, who are like quite a well-established mining company here in Newcastle. And she's, quite green, and realized that she could actually make such a big impact actually joining one of the big boys in the industry and making change from within, rather than, joining a really young, small startup and, changing the world with how much impact could she actually have? And she actually really loves working with Bradken now, because she's doing really, really big things with them. So yeah, it's all about kind of being flexible with your values and how do you measure impact? Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, not flexible in the sense that you're going to compromise on them, but just flexible in the sense that there's different ways to arrive at the same goal.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that point you just mentioned about that person is fantastic. She got into the organization and then started to create positive change from within, which is much easier because people trust you, and also you have access to the right people, right? If you're chaining yourself to trees, you're never going to be able to talk to the CEO or the financial officer of the company to change the way they do their logging. But once you're inside, if you have access to senior people, you can start to shift the conversation a little bit.
100%. And the thing that she realized as well is a lot of these big C-suite people in these big, big companies, they actually do want to do good impact stuff. Like, they do want to be involved, but they need people like yourself and like people who are really passionate about these things and really knowledgeable about these things to come in and help them out, because at the end of the day, they're just trying to steer the ship. But if they don't have other people helping them and advising them, then they can't really do the good work. So yeah, sweet. Thanks, Matt. So, Matt, is there any other tidbits of advice that you'd like to give to young designers or younger people in tech when they're just starting out?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, two things. One is, and this has become more apparent as I get older and as I know more people, but your network is your net worth. Business is people interacting with each other and transacting with each other. And so if you can't connect with the right people, it's very hard to get the right deals done, and it's very hard to have access to the right opportunities. So one of the ways when you're young that it's really easy to do that is to go and look for mentors. Mentors, by definition, are very generous with their time and want to help you and want to give you their advice. And they will also be able to connect you to people within their network. And so it's a very easy way to, you know, if you want to get into horse racing with green socks, find one of the best jockeys and talk to them, or find one of the best trainers and send them an email. You know, you'd be surprised how just a well-worded email about, look, I love your work, I'm really interested in this, I'm just starting out, could we meet once a month for a coffee and can you just give me some basic advice? I'd find it really useful. 9 times out of 10, people would be like, absolutely, I'd love to tell you, you know, what my story was and what to avoid. People tend to be too scared to ask, but there's no harm in asking. And until you ask, the answer's no anyway.
What's the worst that can happen?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Find a couple of mentors, you know, even if it's people you admire in your family or in your community or people you admire in the industry, reach out to them, see if they've got time for coffee, potentially see if there are mentoring networks that could be useful. I think this is especially important for women starting out. Men kind of tend to do it almost organically, but I think women definitely need to foster, you know, girls clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a much more efficient way of reaching the right people.
Yeah, literally just got back yesterday from a Women in Tech event in Sydney, and it was so wholesome and so great to be in such a smart, like just surrounded by such smart women. So I think that's something that's kind of changing, definitely like less competitive, I think, than what it used to be, and more a culture of like building one another up. But yes, you're right. It is something that should come quite naturally to everybody. And yeah, it's like a muscle. You gotta work it. And I think as well now that it's so much more easy to reach out to people through LinkedIn. LinkedIn is such an easy way to connect with people. It's literally what it's there for. Just ping them, ping people a connection request. I do it all the time. I just like, and that's how we became connected. I'm just like, yeah, exactly. Hey, this guy's doing cool things, so I want to talk to you. And that is honestly so easy. People want to chat and share their knowledge. People love getting their ego stroked. Like it's a win-win for everybody, right? So yeah, if you ask the right questions and are polite, then lots of doors will open.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Awesome, Matt. I think that, how do you feel? That all good with you?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Sweet. Oh, so good. Yeah, I feel really good about that. I feel like there's like lots of nuggets of gold and
awesome.